Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends. Happy Monday. I'm so glad to see you or be with you, be talking with you, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. I hope that spring is finding you. I always find such joy in the changing of the seasons. It's always so encouraging to me to see new life begin and the trees start to bloom. And I don't know, maybe you're up north and you're still thinking we have snow. Well, we've pretty much moved to summer here in Texas, but I love it. And I hope that not only are you jumping into the show, I hope you are jumping into our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. So if you are just catching up, listen, this is what the deal is. Starting on January 1st, I have challenged you as my listeners and our community to adopt 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. This is just one habit a week. You can habit stack, and we have been making some really good progress. And this is week 13, if you can believe it. So far, the 12 that we have before are praying, memorizing scripture, plugging into a local church, listening to Christian music, practicing gratitude, listening with your face, having a bedtime routine, good sleep hygiene, having a daily devotional, a morning routine, playing together, and affirmation. So if you've missed out on any of those, you can check them out on my social media at Dr. Nurse Mama. That's either Instagram or Facebook. Or you can listen to the show and go back and see how we've threaded those through every week. This week, the habit for the week is legacy letters. That's what I'm calling them. But I'm encouraging you to write letters to your children. Now, it doesn't matter how old they are. If they are really little, you can start this for now. If they are older, you can write them letters now. If they're grown and out of the house and in their 50s, you can write them letters. But especially for this generation of kids, they really value handwritten letters because communication today is so digital and disposable. All of the communication they receive are text messages. They are typewritten emails or screens or emojis even. They don't even use words. They just use pictures to communicate with each other. And if you're in an older generation like I am, and rapidly so, more every day, you know what your grandmother's handwriting looks like. You know if you get a card from someone you love, you can recognize their handwriting. And that's something that's really, really special. And Gen Z and Gen Alpha coming up behind them, they really love and appreciate all things vintage. I'm talking camcorders and record players and things like that, and especially handwritten letters. This generation does not have a little box in their closet of carefully folded notes or letters from an era gone by. And so I encourage you to regularly write letters to your children. In my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide to Help Parents and Teens Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, I actually give prompts for these, and I'll be giving some more prompts on my social media this week. But at the end of each chapter, there is a prompt to write your child a letter to really share with them your faith, to share your legacy, to share the things that you love about them, the things that will encourage them and inspire them. But there is a catch. You have to give these letters that without any strings attached. You can't expect a response because, listen, I have written my kids a lot of letters, and I may even come to tears and just be so moved by the experience I had pouring out my love for them. And when I give them to them, there's just nothing. There's just kind of a meh or yeah, okay, or maybe even a that's weird. But we invest what we think is wise, and we trust God to water that seed and to bring the dividend. So there's a lot of different ways I've done this. We've written, my husband and I usually will write a letter to our children on their birthday, and we keep them in a little box so that when they graduate from high school, they have letters for us to get from us. We also made a a time capsule on their first birthday. And that was really beautiful and special because they had letters. And now that my kids are old enough, they've gone to college and we have opened that time capsule, we've been able to open letters from grandparents who have since passed on. And that is just such a meaningful experience to see their voice and their legacy and their heritage living on. So I encourage you, whatever stage of life your kids are in, write them a letter. You never know when it might end up, you know, tucked in their Bible or in their bedside table, or maybe it would be, you know, something that they put up on their bulletin board. Those are all things that have happened. But contrary to popular belief, we have a lot of sway and a lot of influence over our kids. They care more about what we think of them than anyone else in the whole world. And to see written words like that are really, really amazing because they can know that they know and they can go back and read those again on a bad day. So I wanted to share with you really quick before we bring on our guest for today, a letter that I got from a mom who wrote a legacy letter from one of my books. This is what she said to me. She said, "Last year, I felt lost and hopeless. I felt like I was failing as a mom. I divorced and my son was angry and hurt. He shut me out of his life. Our only conversations were arguments. He started hanging out with troubled kids. I caught him drinking. He was failing school. His dad didn't want to see him anymore. And this caused my son to spiral emotionally. I was desperate. My sister put your book into my hands. I read the chapter on divorce and wept my way through it. When I read the Legacy Letter Challenge, I knew I had to do it, even though it was incredibly difficult. The prompt was to write a letter praising the positive qualities your teen inherited from their other parent. Tell them no matter how the relationship ended, they are a gift to cherish with no regrets." The mom goes on to say, "I wrote the letter and left it on his bed. He didn't say anything about it for 2 weeks. Then he shared he thought I hated his dad, and he was half his dad, so I must hate half of him, and he hated all of himself. Writing this letter started a journey of healing for us. We have a very long way to go in therapy, but are unlocking doors with conversation keys, and I'm writing more legacy letters. Thank you for giving us a lifeline." And I have heard from parents all over the world who have had the same experience. And listen, we all go through tough stuff as families. We all have different burdens and heartaches, and we all have unhealthy ways of coping that we learn from past generations. But we can heal, we can hope, we can thrive. It's a journey, though, and it takes intentionality. It takes perseverance. It takes courage. So, friend, what if it today is the day you decide to change things? What if 6 months from now you find yourself in a new place, grateful for today? Just know that my journey of hope and experiencing generational trauma is well into its second decade now, and there are valleys and mountaintops and springs and deserts. And the secret is adjusting your goal from arriving at some sort of destination to finding joy in the journey. So know that I am praying for you. I am cheering you on. I am learning and growing alongside you. And we have resources along the way. And I'm excited to share with you a resource we're going to be featuring today on the show called American Heritage Girls. Now, some of you may be familiar with this because there are about 60,000 girls in American Heritage Girls globally, but we are going to hear from Patty Garibay. Now, for more than two decades, Patty has been at the forefront of countering culture by leading girls and women to creating lives of integrity. She's the founder and the executive director of American Heritage Girls, which is a national Christ-centered leadership and character development program. She has helped thousands of girls discover their true identity and purpose in Christ through their programming. So, Patty, welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We're so glad to have you.
It is a pleasure. I loved what you spoke about with legacy letters. What an impactful letter you received yourself from a listener. That's fantastic.
Isn't it fantastic? You know, this world is tough, Patty, and I know that you know that because you are working with girls who are in the middle of it. But when we can see hope and healing in those little moments, I mean, it is just everything. Because we know, I say all the time, in this world, we will have trouble, but we can take heart because God has overcome the world, and we have people like you who are just working alongside and hearing the voice of God to call you to start something new. So we'd love to hear your story about how you were an active leader and volunteer in the Girl Scouts, but then started American Heritage Girls.
Right. Certainly not something planned. You know, so many things that we do in our life, we don't plan to do them. But when the Lord calls you to do something, it's best to say yes.
I agree.
You may not know the depth and breadth of that, right? But you best say yes. And so that's what happened to me. I had been serving in the Girl Scouts. I led three troops, and I was also a delegate to the Girl Scout Council. I felt like I really knew that organization, and I used it as ministry because at the same time, I was also a children's pastor at my local church. But then in 1993, the Girl Scouts made a pretty important decision, and that was to no longer mandate an oath to God in the Girl Scout promise, which is what every girl recited at every meeting. And so it was very foundational, and I started to wonder why. Why, after 100 years at that point, would they suddenly change their foundress's attempts at keeping this a God-centered organization and say that God was really not mandatory? And that's exactly what happened, and we started to research more things about their agenda and what had been going on that really wasn't evident to the common participant, but you had to really dig for it. And what I found was alarming. I did what I think every good Christian should try to do, is try to make changes, you know, on the local and even the national level, but they wanted no part of that. And so there was no other thing to do but to create a little club, you know, for my daughter to get her through the formative years. And here we are, 29 years later, and over 500,000 girls have been through this program in 29 years. I guess God had a bigger plan, and I just did say yes to something small, but grew it.
Isn't that amazing, Patty? I love hearing from people like you. You know, we've heard from so many people like you on this program who, you know, think, okay, I'm a Girl Scout leader. And then all of a sudden, God gives you, you know, a much bigger path and a journey that you couldn't have even thought about. And you wrote a book about your experience called Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle. Can you tell us about that perspective shift that you had and that journey?
Yes, that is actually a quote my father often said. My father was chronically disabled. He suffered from acute multiple sclerosis. I never knew him to walk. His wife, my mom, was an alcoholic. That's the way she dealt with it. It was pretty bad childhood, you might say. And I would go to my dad after serving in the Girl Scouts and explaining what the next thing was, what they had just done to me, or what I had discovered. And from his bed, you know, he was bedridden by this point. He said, "Patty, you've been doing this for years. You know about education. You know about child formation and development. Why don't you start something new?" And it was the same time that my heavenly father, I had just finished reading Habakkuk, and that whole verse around, you know, why are we yelling at God for what the circumstances are, that we are to do something about it. And it all just felt like it was coming together, both from a eternal perspective and even my own dad, who thought, "Hey, you can do this, Patty, you can do this." And of course, we all suffer from feeling ill-equipped or not good enough, or how could my past ever be something I could speak about, you know, purity and things like that. How would that even be? And the Lord redeems all of that. He picks us for a purpose. And when we say yes, he develops us and he brings people alongside us. And that's really how it all came to be. So that very term, "Why curse the darkness when you can light a candle," is on my father's gravestone today, because that was the kind of man he was, feeble in body, but a strong tower in faith.
Oh, that's beautiful, Patty. Well, I want to hear more about your story, and I want to hear more about American Heritage Girls and how girls can get connected. So when we come back, we will talk about the 5 program levels. This is for girls age 5 to 18. We'll talk about what they do and how you can get connected. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Patty Garibay, founder of American Heritage Girls. We'll see you in a second. is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents, and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back on this Monday to my conversation with Patty Garibay. She is founder and executive director of American Heritage Girls. And if you were listening before the break, you heard her really inspirational story and how her dad inspired her to write the book and to take on the mindset, why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? And I think it is just amazing that this organization started around a kitchen table and now reaches all the way around the world. Patty, what are you doing all around the world? Tell us all the things about American Heritage Girls and what that experience is like.
You know, every American Heritage Girl troop is a ministry of the local church. So churches decide that they want this to be a ministry of their own congregation. And that's a beautiful thing because that not only provides a meeting space, but it also provides oversight, spiritual oversight for the troop, in that when and if conflict arises, the church is able to get together with those volunteers and help them to biblically resolve conflict, which, you know, is inevitable. And it also just helps that church maintain a real appearance in the community because girls and their families are flocking to this organization. Unfortunately, there's more waiting lists than there are openings, so there's always a need, and there's so many more churches that would be able to use this as their outreach. And as you know from what you do day in and day out, girls are in a lot of trouble. Their mental health is really had been wreaked havoc with. They've just been in a difficult place. And for them to understand their identity in Christ, which is what American Heritage Girls attempts to do through the service of Holy Spirit-inspired volunteers that come alongside these girls and speak affirmation into them, and also to train them in God's Word and in God's concepts and the relevancy and the inerrant Word of the Bible. These are all things that we do day in and day out at every weekly meeting. But it's not just Sunday school. They're earning badges. They're setting goals. They're learning about leadership. They're discerning vocations. So it's almost providing a framework for Christ-centered adulting. And I think that's what every parent is looking for today.
I completely agree with you on that. And it is hard, and there are unique needs that girls have. And one of the things I'm concerned about, Patty, is, you know, I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner, I'm a professor, and I am very alarmed about the research that's emerging, particularly on the impact of girls on social media. So we know that it impacts all kids negatively, but the research is very credible in saying it very much skews towards negative impacts on girls. And the younger the girls, the more negative the impacts, and it impacts the way that they see their identity because they have this, what they call image crafting online, where they're trying to craft an image that they think their peers want to see in the way the standards of their peers, which, Patty, frankly, are always changing. I mean, what is in today is out tomorrow. What is acceptable today is cancelable, which which I don't even think that's a word, but I just made it up. It's mm-hmm. cancelable tomorrow. And so I think to have girls who are like-minded, who are working on these things that are productive, that really appeals to me, because what I see is a lot of kids who are spending 4 to 9 hours on average every day on a device, on a screen. And when mm-hmm. you talk about these things that are practical, I want to break some of these down a little bit more. Let's talk about outdoor experiences first, because we talked to Trail Life, and I think people can see like, oh yeah, you know, boys having outdoor experience, but girls need that too. And every year I volunteer as a camp nurse, and I can't tell you how many kids come in and they just have not even been in the good outdoors. Like, they need to be in the great outdoors. And there was one child in particular that was having trouble recognizing shapes. I was trying to do a developmental screening, and I drew a circle. She didn't know what that was. And then I drew a triangle, and she didn't know what that was. And as soon as I drew square, she said, oh, TV. And I thought, oh, this is our problem. Oh. So talk about, what are the outdoor experiences like in American Heritage Girls?
You know, we have over 375 badges, and you might know what a badge is because scouting's been around a long time. But they basically have requirements and then optional activities that you can do to earn this badge. And you can earn one of our badges in American Heritage Girls at 3 different levels. At the highest level, you're actually learning the acumen so well that you can teach another. So it's very progressive that way as far as child development. But in the outdoors, it's especially awesome. And the girls love it. First of all, girls are wired to be creative, to admire beauty. That's a little different than the boys, right? They love the looks of the out of doors. And when they are brought into nature, they are able to sigh a breath of relief, because anxiety, like I had mentioned earlier, is at an all-time high. Girls are really suffering from mental health issues. We know through scientific studies that nature helps to reduce anxiety. So that's mm-hmm. one reason. No matter if you're an American Heritage Girl or you're not, you need to get your kids outdoors on purpose, because it's so life-giving. But also, it allows the girls to have times for team building and leadership and physical activity and strengthening relationships. I mean, there is nothing better to form community than a rainy camp out, because you're pretty desperate at that point, and you know you have to rely on your friends to get through and to even eat a meal, right, when that fire's not starting. So it is a wonderfully beautiful thing in a time of growth, the outdoors. It's one of our five. We actually have 6 program emphases. They include the outdoors, also citizenship, which we have a very strong service program. And this is where we're finding over the very many decades that we've been around that girls are learning about their passion. And this is leading them to choosing vocations through serving others. And I think that altruistic get out of yourself mentality, which is so important, is really manifested when it's inherent in this particular program of doing that. Life skills is what we talked about with the badges. Social and emotional health, we talk a lot about that. We talk about conflict resolution. We talk about team building. We talk a little bit about influence and leadership. And speaking of leadership, we've just developed a brand new program called Grit with Grace. Grit means girls rooted in truth, but delivering that truth with grace. And here's the thing, and I know you know this too, and that is that resiliency is at an all-time low, and that girls are seeking to become more resilient. They know they don't have the courage they want to have. And so here's the area that we really impress upon them through their social and emotional health and their leadership acumen. And then finally, but not finally, it's foremost, is faith. Understanding who they are and whose they are in Christ, how to build a faith relationship, how to make sure that you have picked like-minded friends to go through life with so that they can encourage your faith walk rather than discourage and question that. And this is really woven throughout. The biblical worldview is woven throughout the American Heritage Girls program.
You know, I absolutely love that. Patty, you got me at Grit and Grace, because I was very, very close to my grandmother. I called her Granny. I lived with her all through nursing school, and she passed away. She's in heaven. She met Jesus last fall, but she always talked about grit and grace. Like, that was just woven into the fabric of her character. She was a very godly woman who Would read her guidepost devotional every day and use her tithing check as a bookmark. You know, that is how faithful this woman was. And she talked about grit and grace. And I love that. And I see how, you know, your program at American Heritage Girls is dedicated to building women of integrity and especially doing that for service and leadership. I really feel like girls today need to be empowered that they can do those kinds of things, and it can prepare them for so many paths in their future. What kind of service projects do you do? Can you give us some examples of that, or what kind of opportunities are there for leadership?
There's so many opportunities for service. Let's talk about that first. Service is absolutely integral. As a matter of fact, every troop has to do at least 3 service projects per year to retain their charter, because we believe it's that important and that influential on a girl's life. And the girls tend to pick those things, and they love to do work and help the homeless, those that are hungry. They love to serve at soup kitchens. They like to be stretched, believe it or not, outside mm-hmm. of their comfort zone. And those are the things that they remember the most in this program. In addition to that, they do a lot of work with pregnancy care centers. They have a real heart for the unborn and for mamas that are in that situation. And recently, and I know this is near and dear to your heart, mm-hmm. they're very concerned about human trafficking.
Oh, yes.
And this is a very, very important, you know, the topic for all of us to talk about, and also for us to talk about in terms of keeping them safe and away from this kind of stuff. But they care about really the same issues you and I care about, these girls care about, and they want to be part of the solution, not just adding to the problem.
Oh, yep. You definitely got me on human trafficking because that is something that's actually my primary area of focus as a professor. And it is so important. And what I see is, you know, Patty, people are afraid that their kids are going to be kidnapped off the street into trafficking. They think, you know, they see somebody scary looking at a grocery store and they're just going to kidnap their daughters. But that's not how it happens. Parents should be a lot more afraid of the thousands of strangers that kids invite into their bedroom every night through social media. Yeah. And that's where grooming and deception happens. And so having something like American Heritage Girls that gives you purpose, that gives you confidence, that gives you fellowship with other people and keeps you busy is so important. And I read in all of the materials that I was reading to prepare for this, that the American Heritage Girls troops during the 2022 and 2023 program year, they served a collective total of, okay, listen to this, listeners. I want to make sure you catch this. They, in 1 year, they gave 590,720 service hours. Is that right? That seems
that sure
just
is.
Unbelievable.
That's equivalent to 67 years.
In 1 year.
Yeah, it's been... in 1 year. And every year, by the way, to celebrate our birthday, which is September 13th, we have our National Day of Service. Rather than receiving gifts for our birthday, we give gifts of service to a community. And that's when they're always deciding, now, what are we going to do this year? Our very next year, which is a new program year for us, we're going to be working alongside Samaritan's Purse and helping people in need from weather-related issues. So this past year, it was all about Woven, and we did pregnancy care centers was the focus of the National Day of Service. Prior to that, we worked with Johnny and Friends, and our focus was on differently abled people and how to minister to them. So there's always something really special and meaningful for a girl to experience in American Heritage Girls.
Well, you cannot tell me that that kind of service effort is not impacting communities, that it is not having a positive impact, not only on the girls, but on the communities they serve. And this is just such a beautiful example of, as American Heritage Girls is an extension, really, of the church and the body of Christ, really being the hands and feet of Jesus in the community, which I think is amazing. And it's my understanding that you work with a lot of different denominations. Is that right?
We do. We believe in the unity of the church, that we really should focus on the things we have in common, and that is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that His holy word is authoritative and without blemish. And that is what we major on. And so we're able to some people have said we do it better than, why couldn't Ireland do this? Because you guys are doing it so well. But really, that's it. And you know what else happens during all of that? The girls get together and talk about their faith and why they believe what they believe. And that is so important as they go off to college, because if there's not an understanding or some form of apologetics in their system, they're quickly going to lose that if it has not been with, you know, throughout their life's journey, mm-hmm. undergirded by their parents' faith and then undergirded by the choice of extracurricular activities. And, you know, I really believe at the final day, we will be held responsible for the choices we've made for our daughters and our sons. And I think it's so important to realize that even extracurricular activities do affect eternity for your daughters.
That is so true. And that's such a heavy thing to carry. You know, I have two daughters. I have two sons too, but I have two daughters. And really, you know, Patty, my own story was that realizing when my oldest daughter was 13, that even though I was a pediatric nurse practitioner and advising parents every day on how to raise their kids, I was failing miserably at raising mine. And it really requires intentionality. I had to unlearn and relearn a lot of things. And the first thing that I had to relearn was how to depend on God for everything. And to realize that I would never be enough. You know, I needed prayer. I needed a community of faith that was going to walk around with me. And I love how you talk about, you know, the impact, the importance of parents and weaving that through their life. And so, of course, their American Heritage Girls mission is to build women of integrity, which I just love that phrase so much, through service to God, family, community, and country. How can parents apply that goal practically, Patty, in their daily lives to raise girls who do all of these the wonderful, amazing things?
You know, I think you said it even earlier in your program, the importance of intentionality. You spoke mm-hmm. about those legacy letters, and that's being intentional about speaking to your child in a handwritten form. And I think that's just precious. The same thing goes with how we're going to raise them up in the way they should go. There should be practical ideas that we're using each and every day. And, you know, I'm excited that you brought this up, because for us, as of January 1st, American Heritage Girls has launched a podcast called Raising Godly Girls. Now, this podcast has zoomed up the charts we're at 14th in parenting. Who would have ever thought that?
Wow.
But meaning that people are getting some stuff out of this, you know, that they, practical advice to mm-hmm. parent well. And we just launched it, like I said, January 1. We have two short forms, Tuesday and Thursday, and then a long form that I do on the weekend with a special guest that is, you know, really great at the topic at hand. And we talk about the importance of intentional parenting. And we've had several people from American Family Radio on there, as well as many others. But your listeners can listen to the old ones and listen to the new ones and all of that on any of the podcast platforms. But in 2020...
Well, hold that thought, Patty. Hold that thought. Almost shut down. We're up against a break. But I want to hear more about that when we come back. We'll hear how it was almost shut down. Want to hear more about the podcast and about how you can join. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. We are talking to Patty Garibay. She is the founder and the executive director of American Heritage Girls. And this conversation has just put a big smile across my face because I am a girl and I love investing in girls and thinking about things for my daughters. And it's just so encouraging. Now, before the break, Patty, you left us on a cliffhanger saying that even though American Heritage Girls has been around for almost 30 years, it was almost shut down. And then I was mean and cut you off and left everybody hanging and took us to break. I am sure this has something to do with COVID, but my goodness, tell us your story and what happened and how you recovered.
You know, I couldn't believe, first of all, that the Lord would allow this ministry to flourish for 25 years. So our 25th anniversary was in the year 2020. And boy, I was so excited. I still was in awe of his goodness. And we were getting ready to do a big girl convention and take over Cedarville University. And everybody's invitations were out. People were enrolling. It was going to be the most exciting event. And then we all know what happened. That was the year of COVID. And of course, because we work with churches, and when churches are forced to shut down or they decide that they can't have live services, they can only do online services, well, then you can't have live meetings either. And so we lost so many troops, and it was really difficult to reignite that flame once it had been extinguished. And so we just really are recovering from that and having and growing by 30 to 40% a year, which is a blessing. But during that time, we had to discern. We've got a big staff here at the national headquarters. What are we going to do? We can't lay off all these people. What are we going to do? And so we brought it to prayer, intentional prayer. And the Lord brought up this idea of the Raising Godly Girls, offering parenting advice to parents in a Christian framework. Since we've been doing that for 25 years, why not share it on a larger platform? And that's really when and where the podcast and the Radio Minute, which American Family Radio airs, by the way, that has really brought us to this place, because parents said, we love your minute, but we want more. And so that's why the podcast, Raising Godly Girls, has been birthed, and it was out of a necessity of what are we going to do with this staff. And now, look, the Lord has used it for good, as he always does.
Oh, I absolutely love that. You know, that is, it's amazing how some of those hardships create innovations for God to work. And it's through our weakness, Patty, you know, that God is made strong. And that, and I think sometimes those experiences are so good for us because they remind us that, hey, it's not just because we're smart or we're innovative, and maybe we are those things and God has gifted us in those ways, but to know that it is truly God who is working. And I'm just looking again. And this podcast is called Raising Godly Girls, which you said is 14th on the podcast list, which that's pretty amazing considering how many there are out there. And I do indeed recognize a lot of familiar names who have been on this show. We have Beth Guckenberger, Larry Fowler. We have Abraham Hamilton, of course, who is American Family Radio, and other names you would know like Elisa Childers. And tell us again how we can find that and when you drop the new episodes.
Right. We drop episodes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and that can be found on any of your platforms, Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those places. I even found it on Pandora, so I think it's pretty easy to find. Or you can go to our webpage, raisinggodlygirls.com, and you can listen to that. It streams there live as well, and also our archived episodes are there as well. But I think what's really, really important is to tell someone you know about this, because parents are hungry for tools for their parenting toolbox, and there's just not enough out there. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you're a grandmother, or tell your granddaughters about this, tell your children about this, and listen up. It's more for parents than it is for kids, because we're talking about some pretty heavy subjects, but the teenage girl, it would be very, very informative for them as well.
Well, and I had just shared with you, Patty, that, you know, this American Heritage Girls really came to my attention recently. I was visiting a local church, just a local community, kind of average sized church, I think, for a suburban neighborhood. And I was there to see a friend get baptized. And when we were there, they had one of the American Heritage Girls leaders come up and do a little presentation about what had been going on. And they told us they had 90 girls in this particular chapter in American Heritage Girls, just 90, which I couldn't believe it. I mean, we're a very, you know, I go to a similar sized church and thinking 90 girls just for American Heritage Girls. And it told me that there is a hunger, like you said, from parents. They want a place, a healthy place, a positive place where their daughters can plug in and be surrounded by like-minded people who also give them these really important life skills. So tell us, what are the nuts and bolts of this, Patty? So we've got people listening and they're thinking, okay, I want to tell my daughter, I want to tell my granddaughter, I want to tell my great-granddaughter, my niece, whoever it is. How can they join a chapter?
Well, they can join a chapter by going to our website, AmericanHeritageGirls.org or AmericanHeritageGirls.com. Just remember, American Heritage Girls. And you will find our website. And on the upper right-hand side, there's a red block that says Find a Troop. You pop your zip code in there and you decide how long do you want to drive and you see what kind of troops there are in your area. And then the other way that you can get involved with American Heritage Girls is to start a troop. And that way you are certain that your daughter or your granddaughter will be able to be on a troop, in a troop, because there is long waiting lists because this has become something that parents so desperately want. But to start a troop, it's four basically easy steps. One is prayer. A heart for reaching girls. You've got to be in this for the long run. This is not something I'll do for a season or for a month. The girls rely on you, and you become incredibly important to their life's journey. And so just that heart and the Lord's calling, that is so important, because when he calls you, he'll equip you, and we know that to be true. And then you need a charter organization, which is your local church or your local ministry. And they are able to say, yes, we want to bring this because we want 90 new families to come to our church.
Yeah.
See how that works.
Yeah.
When you've got 90 girls in a troop, you have amazing reach now to really help families be discipled and to be brought into the church because of this very fun, wholesome organization. And then you need a team. You need a team of five dedicated volunteers to begin with. And this is a troop board, it's called. You need a charter representative, a troop coordinator, vice coordinator, troop treasurer, and the most important, the troop shepherd. This woman is dedicated to these girls and praying for their spiritual well-being along with their families. And then you're able to have the training and the coaching and all of that from the national headquarters, as well as in many listening areas, there are what are called area teams, which are highly devoted volunteers that have been in this program for quite a while, and they have some great expertise to lend and a lot of prayer, too.
You know, I know there are going to be a lot of people listening, Patty, who are capable of starting a troop and of doing that. And you may be going on to look and see, oh, that there's no nearby troop, or there's not one closest to us, although there is one, in at least one in all 50 states, but they may not be close to you, or there may be a waiting list. But let me just encourage you. This may be your calling. This may be your moment, just like Patty described at the beginning of the program, where God uses you to do something you never saw coming. And so I am just convinced and just convicted in the core of my soul, Patty, that there are people out there listening whose hearts are on fire thinking, I should do this. I've been looking for something, or maybe they even know about American Heritage Girls and they've been wanting to do that. But the support that you're describing from National and what you have to do, it sounds doable. And what kinds of impacts have you seen, Patty, in families? Are there any stories that you can share with us or things that you've seen personally, just the evidence of God's faithfulness and working through the lives of so many tens of thousands of girls who have completed this program?
You know, there's so many stories, more than we have time for, but one that particularly rises to the top for me is, again, referring to the mental health crisis of today's girls. And I was at a Meet the Founder event where I might go and talk with the girls in an area, and they love doing that, and they usually like me to sign up their handbook or something. It's sort of funny, but that's what they like. They know that this is important and something that they want to keep for their kids. And I noticed this girl, very tall, beautiful young teen, long dark hair, black nail polish, gauge earrings, and she kept letting the littler girls go in front of her. And I thought, ooh, this young lady wants to talk to me. So as I do with every girl, I said, what is it about American Heritage Girls that you enjoy? And she said, well, Miss Patty, it saved my life. Now, I had never heard anything like this before. I've heard a lot of neat stories, but not life-saving stories. She said, you see, what happened was my mom and dad got divorced, and I blamed myself. I was cutting. I was doing anything to destroy myself. I was having bad boyfriend relationships. I was just on a course of destruction. She said, but then one of my friends invited me to American Heritage Girls, and the women there loved on me, and they affirmed me, and they encouraged me. And I realized that I could now set goals, and I could earn badges, and I could earn level awards, and I could make a difference and have a voice in all the problems that I see in the world. And today, I believe American Heritage Girls saved my life. So that's not every girl's story, but it was her story. And I bet there's a few more out there. So this is something that's life-affirming. It's something that really makes a difference in a girl's life, not just for the girls involved, but for the adults involved. This year, our Outstanding Volunteer of the Year was a young 80 years old. For the first time in her life, she went camping at the age of 79. She had never camped before, but she loved these girls so much that she went out of her safe space and she went camping on a rubber mat. And she won Volunteer of the Year. So you are not too old. There's always a place for you in American Heritage Girls and a place for you to thrive and give glory to the Lord by helping the next generation know Him.
Wow. Well, that is really inspiring. And I can't help but think back to what you started out this conversation with, Patty, saying, why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? And it seems like that candle that the Lord lit in your heart has illuminated the lives of hundreds of thousands of girls now that have been involved in this organization over the last 30 years. And I can't emphasize enough, you know, my encouragement for girls to be involved in an organization like this, because I always say that people, that kids, girls and their parents, by the way, which I'll talk about in a show upcoming, but that girls need five people in their lives. They need an intercessor. They need someone who's going to pray for them without any questions asked. Just, yes, absolutely, I will pray for you anytime, any place. They need a counselor, somebody who is a generous listener and who is going to be dependable for wise advice. They need a friend, somebody who is willing to invest in them, someone maybe who is another parent, or somebody whose house they feel like they feel at home in. They need to have a friend, and they need someone who's in the same boat. And that can be a trusted adult. And I'm talking about these are adults that kids need in their life. They need a trusted adult who can relate to something that their teen is going through. And then a healthcare provider would be the fifth one. But I can't help but think, Patty, as you're describing this, you know, somebody to pray for you, somebody to give you honest, wise counsel, somebody to be your friend and invest in you, and someone who might be in the same boat and understand some of the things you're going through. And you talked about five people that you need on your team for the American Heritage Girls team. And I'm thinking you can find all of those people just right there. Well, what have you learned, Patty, about God, and how has this strengthened your own personal faith?
I mean, just what you spoke of about how interesting the five that we need. That's what I have learned about God, is He doesn't miss a detail. He has woven the most beautiful tapestry for our lives, and it is up to us to look at that front of that tapestry as God sees it, or are we going to dwell on all the knots and mistakes that we have on the back of our tapestry? And the Lord wants us to look for goodness, to look at who He made us to be. The potential is there through the grace of the Holy Spirit. You know, we often talk about the nonsense of girl power, but rather the reality of the Holy Spirit's power in the girl. Mm. That makes all the difference. And so to bring up your daughter in the way she should go should be one an admonition of the Lord. And to be around His people, learning good things that later will be used in the future for a vocation that serves Him.
Well, amen, Patty, and thank you to that, and thank you for just sharing your journey with us today. If you were listening in, here is your recap. Make sure you check out the Raising Godly Girls podcast, which Patty has already shared with us. You can find anywhere. Just started in January. I don't think it would take you long to catch up on those episodes and to have some encouragement. If you want to know more about American Heritage Girls, you can go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org. Now, if you're interested in the boys, we did have an episode where we featured Trail Life USA, although I have to say they were started a lot after the girls. Patty, you were a trailblazer, and I absolutely love it. Well, thank you so much for being on with us today, and we hope that you will check it out. And friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. And we will see you right here next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast
may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.